Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. In verse 8, we read that Jesus Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We have studied the humiliation of Jesus, that he was equal with God, that he stripped himself of his glory, that he became a man, even a servant to God, as he had taken the form of a man. He appeared publicly as a man. He abased himself and he became obedient. He became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. What did God do for Jesus? We know what Jesus did for God. Did he abandon him after he died on the cross? Did he leave him in the grave after he was buried in a rich man's tomb? Did he set him aside and say, "Your work is done. I need you no longer as a servant, just only as a son"? What did God do for Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him." This word exalt means to lift up. Just as the brazen serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, and as Jesus was lifted up on the cross, God lifted him higher than the brazen serpent and higher than the cross upon which he died. And in his exaltation of the Son of God, he gave him a name. A name which is above every name. He announced to those who would bear him, to Mary, and said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." That is the name that is above every name. And because God has exalted Jesus Christ and given him a name which is above every name, sometimes we forget that Jesus is above and beyond the name of any denomination that exists on this earth, or any human being that sits on this earth. And notice that every knee should bow. That is, every human being, every knee should bow. Even those who mocked him at the cross, they will bow the knee someday to Jesus Christ. And someday Pilate, who pronounced sentence or refused to take a stand, will bow his knee before Jesus Christ. That is a law that God has instituted, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven. Can you imagine that all the things that are in heaven with anticipation wait until that time when they will bow the knee to Jesus Christ? And things in earth, the billions of men and women who populated this earth, who have died and who will be resurrected, will someday bow the name to Jesus Christ. And things under the earth, whether that has reference to those who have been buried or whether it's just those demon spirits that exist in the dark recesses, who denounce the name of Jesus and blaspheme the name of Jesus, that someday even these fallen angels, and I rather suspect Satan himself, will bow his knee to Jesus Christ. and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I wonder how bitter that will be to all those who have stopped their ears, who have squelched their conscience, and who have resented. Every time they've read his name, they've been offended and angry, denouncing him as a blasphemer, as an intruder, and all religions. Every atheist who never found the truth, claiming that he just doesn't know whether there's a God or not, or really believes there isn't a God, one day his knee will bow. And someday his tongue will say, Jesus Christ is Lord. The agnostic who claimed he didn't have enough knowledge, someday will have enough knowledge, having seen Jesus Christ in person in his resurrected form, and he himself being resurrected from the dead to be judged of Jesus Christ at the great white throne, will say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And all of this to the glory of God the Father. There's not anything that we can say with this mortal tongue that gives so much glory to God as to say Jesus Christ is Lord. Because Jesus is his only begotten Son. A name is that by which one is known, the name by which a person or thing is called, literally the proper name of a person. That's not confusing to us. We don't have to wonder what the Bible means when it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and then later on, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. God has conferred on him the name which is supreme above every name. There are in the military some who are referred to as the Supreme Commander. I believe that General Eisenhower, as he planned the invasion of Europe, was referred to as the Supreme Commander. There were a lot of commanders, British, French, Dutch, a lot of commanders, but only one man was the supreme commander. And of all the human beings that have ever been born and named, and we think of all the names of the Old Testament, and most of them we have difficulty in pronouncing, someday we won't have to say their name because we have a simple name to say, and that is the name Jesus. Notice of things in heaven and things in earth and things in the underworld, even devils themselves. Let every tongue give witness that Jesus Christ is Lord. Many times we use our names and personal pronouns concerning ourselves. We use it far too much. That which we do in our name receives its reward, and that which we do in the name of Jesus Christ or by his authority receives heaven's reward. And someday all earth and all things will be put under his feet, and his kingdom will reign forever. As we look at these words, we understand that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And to me, this means that there is a judgment coming. Because Jesus Christ did this, because it was the will of his Father, and Jesus, realizing what all it meant to him as a human being, and all the suffering that he would have to endure, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane to let this cup pass from me. He was not going to be immune from the pain of going to the cross. When they pressed down upon him a crown of thorns, and every point of that thorn in that crown of thorns touched a nerve, and blood began to ooze from his forehead. When the whip bit into his back, Jesus knew these things were coming. He knew what it was to be without water, to be thirsty as he died on the cross. The nails that were driven in his hand and the spear in his side, Jesus knew all these things would happen to him, and yet he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And because Jesus Christ did that, all that we've discussed this morning, we read that in the book of John, chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, that it is said, all judgment is given to the Son. And if you think you're going to avoid Jesus Christ in this life and when you die, it's all over. You never have to think about Jesus. You never have to wonder about Jesus. You never have to reject Jesus. If you think it's all over when they place you in the grave, you don't have to worry anymore about facing Jesus Christ. My friend, you labor under a spiritual delusion. You will see him. You will bow your knee before him. And you will be judged by him. It is written in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. And this is part of Paul's discourse to those who were gathered at the Athenian marketplace, and later on Mars Hill. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, why would God command all men everywhere to repent? Here's why. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given or offered faith to all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now this is what Paul said to pagans, that God has appointed a day. We refer to it as Judgment Day. And Jesus will be the judge. And we think of Jesus Christ as our Savior, and he is. And we think of Jesus Christ as all-forgiving, and he is. And yet we understand that Jesus Christ will be the judge of saved people also. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This is not a judgment for salvation, but it is a judgment for rewards. I think it's unscriptural when people sing so happily, "Just give me a cabin in the corner of glory land." There aren't any, people. There aren't any cabins in glory land. There are mansions in the presence of God Almighty, but no cabins in the corner of glory land. And you ought to aspire to more than having that kind of just subdued submission to God. Whatever happens, happens. I know I don't work for him. I know I don't serve him, but I'll go to heaven and I'll just be happy with whatever God gives me. Wake up! We all should serve in such a way with a pure heart that we will hear him say to us someday, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's worth living for. That's worth serving for. I guess the saddest sentence in all the Bible is a sentence that Jesus said would be spoken to people who would not receive him. And that sentence that I believe to be the saddest sentence in the Bible is when Jesus will say to people, "Depart from me, I never knew ye." Think about it. Depart from me. I never knew you. It doesn't mean he didn't know your name, that he didn't know where you lived, that he didn't know what you did. It means that he never knew you in a personal relationship. I know a lot about presidents. I know a lot about governors, but I never knew them. I had historical information in my brain about a lot of people, but I never knew them. I never shook hands with them. I never told them that I liked them or even loved them or appreciated them. I never ate with them or I never suffered with them or shared things with them. I never knew them. How sad it is that Jesus does not know those in an intimate fashion because they never trusted him. If that's the saddest sentence in the Bible, I would point you to the saddest circumstance that I know ever recorded in the Bible. And this is all because of what Jesus did and because of the name that he gave him. And also ordained that at his name every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. The Bible tells us that there will be a throne upon which Jesus will sit. And from it he will judge the world. The Bible tells us that when these people are gathered before him, that a book will be opened. And I believe that book is the Lamb's Book of Life. And another book that he opens will be the Scriptures by which every man will be judged. You know, you say, well, what will be the standard of judgment before God? This book right here. You're not going to have any surprises at the judgment unless you're ignorant of this book. And you're going to say, well, I did so and so. And I think Jesus can say, well, turn to Philippians 2. Let's read that together. You're here saying you don't belong here with all the lost to be judged. You don't belong here at this great white throne judgment because you did what was right in your own heart. You didn't, no, I just did what I thought was right. Well, what you think is right may not be what God thinks is right. So he will judge the world in righteousness. I would ask you this morning, are you right with God? Are you prepared to see Jesus? What do you mean, Brother Penn? I mean, think about it. Consider it. One of these days, you say, well, I'll just walk up to him and say, I'll just walk up to Jesus and shake his hand and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I really, if I'd known what I know now, I would have believed in you. But I can tell you, friend, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Depart from me, I never knew you. What a tragedy to live life and never know Jesus Christ. You may have met a lot of people, but you didn't meet the right man and have a personal, eternal relationship with him. This morning, as we sing a hymn, I want you to think again about what we've studied in these verses. I cannot believe that this would not touch you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Will you stand with me, please?